What's up, guys? Welcome back to Creator Podcast. My name is Sebastian.
My name is Natia Beno.
And today we have a guest, a communications expert. Her name is Flora. She works with communication companies, or she consults for communication companies that work with creators. Mm-hmm. And for us, we felt like this was an important conversation.
Yes.
Because in most cases, mm-hmm. creators don't look at the corporate side of business.
Yes.
And it's good to have an inside look of how corporates and companies in general and brands
mm-hmm.
perceive creators, even when they're making the decision to work with them.
Yes.
And even to decide whether the engagement is going to be short term or long term.
Yes.
Flora, karibu sana.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You should have like a clapper. Hey. Yes, so a brief background of who or and what you do. Who you are and what you do.
Flora Nanjala. I've been in marketing and communications / PR for the last 9.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, since I was very young. I was super duper young. So I've seen the industry evolve mm-hmm. and yeah.
The marketing industry or the yes. communications industry?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm happy and I like what I do.
Yeah. Nice. So Nati had this idea of having you on the podcast.
Yes.
We are still a young podcast. But we have to command millions of downloads.
Yeah.
But the conversations we are having are steering reactions
mm-hmm.
from creators.
Yes.
And they want to learn as much as possible.
Yes.
And there's that one question that you had, even mm-hmm. before we get into the in-depth of this conversation.
Yes.
Ulikuwa unauliza aje.
Oh, so my main question was, how do you people get to choose who to work with as a creator, depending on whatever brands you want to push out there?
Okay, I'll speak from the aspect of I've not really done a lot,
mm-hmm.
just a few. We've worked with a few creators, I can say like 5 or so. I know mm-hmm. there are companies that have worked with so many creators, like Jumia, they're working with so many creators. You
okay.
can see
mm-hmm.
Them online, always people are posting codes and everything.
Yes,
but the few we have worked with, mm-hmm. I will say we choose creators based on the specific brand or
mm-hmm.
company
mm-hmm.
and their area of interest and who is their target audience.
Okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
definitely, I think right now, if you're working with creators, you're mainly targeting people who are in the age group of, let's say, 16 going maybe 35, 40.
Because
mm-hmm. those are the creators we currently have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're also creators who are older, but mm-hmm. that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Example of maybe guys who are in radio, you know, because now them they attract like an older
audience.
Yeah, an older audience.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, depending on what the brand is all about and who they are targeting, and definitely the creator has to be someone of influence, but let's say you're not too controversial, like you shouldn't be all the time, you know, doing weird things.
You know, it's interesting because
on gossip blogs.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
interesting because when you say
yeah.
controversial, what mm-hmm. comes to my mind is
mm-hmm.
it goes hand in hand with the dramatic term, being
yeah.
dramatic.
Yeah.
But what do you consider as the controversial? Because whatever you consider controversial might not be really controversial to me or to somebody else.
Yeah. Or maybe I can say this, maybe something that like whatever you do has to also align with the specific brand,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
there are brands who want that, like they want hype. Let's say example of maybe betting companies, you know, them they work with basically anyone, depending
yeah.
you know, as long as you can get them you know.
As long as you can get them guys to download the
yeah,
app. And,
yeah, and get, you know, get attention on their brand. But there are specific brands, you know, like brands that are, let me say, like kind of Fortune 100 companies who
yes.
are like serious, serious corporates.
Yes.
Them, they want to be aligned with, you know, people who are...
Maybe brands that can convert into sales.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they are very specific about the type of people they work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, as a communications company...
Mm.
Do you come up with the concept and then approach a brand or a company and then give recommendations of the creators to work with, or is it the other way around?
So there are two ways that we have worked with creators. So the first way is maybe a creator comes up with a concept, you know, maybe an example of they have seen this brand and they have this amazing idea of what this brand can do with them to be able to, you know, get more people to listen to them or anything. So there's that aspect. Then there's the aspect of this specific brand or the specific products, they want to push it to this target audience here. So you, they give you a brief definitely as the communications company. Then you come up with a campaign around it. Depending on the campaign, you now are able to shortlist specific people who are in that industry. Let's say you want some, it's something geared towards lifestyle. Then you look for lifestyle creators. So once you have that shortlisted, you also present it to the corporate and they're like, okay, so we are okay with 1-3 people. Then from there, you come with, you finalize on the brief. Then now you're able to reach out to the creator and tell them, we have this campaign in mind. This is the brief. This is what we want you to do. And then definitely they'll now go back again and now share with you a rate card.
So what happens when the creator says, I'm not interested? Do you have to now then present options, the brand, so that you also have sort of a softer landing page or landing space should the ones that you originally wanted say no?
So definitely when you're making the list, you can't really base everything on one creator. You know, you have to have at least a list of a bunch, you know, because maybe one creator will say, no, we don't want to work with you. Or the next one will be like, no, that's your rate card is very low. Like, I don't charge that. So you have to also give allowance to that.
So I have a question because as per what I have experienced, I realized that there are those creators who tend to get more work than others. So you, as somebody who's in the communication and marketing space where you work with corporates who choose creators to work with, what do you think? Is there any bias towards whoever you want to work with? And how do you deal with it?
So I wouldn't say really there's bias. I know there are so many creators that we haven't even known about, you know, and they can do amazing and exceptionally well. But definitely by the time a brand is reaching out to you, what they want is for you to magnify what they're doing. So are you able to do that? You know, do you have the eyeballs? Are people listening to you? Can you convert what we are telling you to say to sales, you know? So are you able to do that? Because there are people who, yes, you have a following, but you're not able to tell people, buy this and they buy, you know? So are you commanding an influence over people?
We carried out an interview a few days back with you, Seba, and I remember there's a creator who mentioned that for them to even engage and want to put a product out there with their face on it, they've got to have the understanding or maybe, you know, like the after use of whatever it is they're putting out there. So for you people, do you allow the engagement of a creator with the product or do you just do it for the sake of this person has this and this number of followers and they have this kind of influence?
Definitely we encourage for that, because at the end of the day, if you're talking about a specific product or service, it needs to be something you've experienced. You know, you can't just wake up and you're like, oh, this cup, you know, you need to have known like what are the perks of using it or the downside of not using it, you know. So engage with the product, tell us what you think. Maybe even there's things that the brand can improve on before even we go to market with a specific product. So definitely being able to experience the product. If I may say, like how the Kardashians work, you know, they're like the original influencers, you know. they don't market or let me say push products that don't marry with their day-to-day living. You know, if if they're not able to use it in their life, then I'll not endorse it. So I prefer working with creators who are able to do that because it's more genuine. You know, you're not just marketing to guys. It's something that you're sure about what you're talking about.
That's
So just to sort of jump into this conversation. I feel like I've been sidelined.
Welcome back.
Which is okay.
You guys have sidelined me. After the intro, you're like, okay, we don't need you anymore. Anyway, my question is, and this based on the conversation we had with Barbara Nyambura, that was episode 5 on this conversation of this podcast. You can go and check it out. And she was talking about these brands and mostly scammy brands that are like, okay, we're going to pay you X amount. It could be 100,000 Kenya shillings or 500,000, whichever amount, depending on how big your platform is. And then they use you as a way of getting guys to join the platform when they know very well that they're not going to pay these other people. So creators are being used to sort of spread fake news, because they know if we have 1,000 creators talking about a platform that allows people to just watch videos and get paid or watch ads and get paid, then we can convert that, we can make back our money. But now in the sense of credibility, doesn't really matter to them. So as communications consultants and communication companies, how do you go about choosing the brands to work with? How do you decide I'm gonna work with only this kind of company? So that also, because in most cases these brands don't interact with the creators, it's the agencies and the communication companies that end up being, you know, blasted on the internet whenever a deal goes wrong. So how do you decide that I'm only gonna work with Fortune 100 companies or Fortune 500 companies so that I also protect my brand, because your name is on the line as long as you're part of the money conversation?
Yeah, so definitely by the time you sign up a client, you need to have done your own, you know, due diligence. Like, who is this client? You know, you just can't go start representing a client who is, you know, selling illegal things or anything. And it goes back to what I mentioned previously. Like, do their values align with the values that the communication company has, you know?
Because
you just can't go representing everyone, you know? Not only Fortune 100 companies, they even companies that you're like, we really don't understand what you're doing, and you know how we, so it's fine. It's fine to, you know, say no to something, because at the end of the day, you need to give your all, you know. By the time you're bringing in a client, you need to be able to deliver, because there are KPIs and there are all these things. So just, I will say, as a communication expert, just do your due diligence, learn about the company before you go and start quoting for prizes, you know exactly what their marketing plan is for the year, what do they want to achieve. Then now you're able to come and tell them you're able to do 1, 2, 3 and use these avenues, because maybe not everyone needs to use creators, you know. There are other avenues, you know. So so I will just say, just investigate and learn more about the company before running and giving them a quote
and representing them.
Yeah,
I think a good example of that is, I think in 2015 or 2016, there was this guy that was being represented by some PR company. I can't remember the name. If I do, I'm going to mention it later. And the guy was Heshan De Silva.
I know which company it is, which company was don't it? Say it.
No, avoid, you say avoid, it.
No, avoid, no, avoid, don't go in.
Okay, okay.
Don't go into the depth.
Usually I mention the companies, but now that I am here with a communications
Whoever wants to know will go digging on Google.
On the internet,
do their research.
So what happened is, and I'm going to tell you the question that I had all along when they came out finally and said, we don't vouch for this person anymore. So what they did for him is they came up with programs where guys could go and get motivated and mentored by this guy. And they used to charge for those events. I think it was 2,000 bob. So this guy was an Indian, Kenyan, a Kenyan Indian. I don't know how that connotation should be. And the conversation that was happening was, he's under 30. He's a billionaire right now. He sold his startup to some insurance company. And there were a lot of missing links in his story. And then at some point, these guys just came out and they were like, there's a lot of inconsistency in this guy's story. So we are deciding to drop him. So the question that I mentioned, I had all along is, why didn't you do that due diligence before you started promoting this guy and plastering him all over news and media platforms? Because you're endorsing something that you're not 100% sure of. I know there's that element of, this guy will only tell you what they want you to hear. But as a PR person or a communication person, what kind of tools and resources do you even use to make sure that, you know what, or what kind of information even do you ask from these companies that you work with, just to make sure that by the time you're putting your brand next to theirs, then you can vouch for them?
Yeah, I think this is mainly for the upcoming companies, because definitely the bigger companies, they already have a name and a reputation and everything.
Yeah.
So you're always free to ask for references. You know, people usually think that references, you only ask for or like if your company wants to work with this company, you know. But you being contracted, you can also ask, you know, so that even you make sure that these people can pay you, because you can do a job and then like story yanze, you know. Just feel free to ask for those things, you know. And then going back to what you said, like it's okay to make mistakes, you know. Maybe this company did their due diligence, but you know, like the guy maybe or the corporate didn't really give full information. You know, and it's very okay to come out and say, we are sorry that we associated with this guy, but you know, this is what we have learned, and we no longer want to be associated with him. It's quite okay.
It's always good when you make a mistake, you come out and say, by the way,
you come and accept,
we missed a step here, and if it's okay with you guys, you should forgive us. You're asking something about how bad or how damaging is it to be constantly mentioned in quote-unquote bad limelight as a content creator, especially if you're looking to work with brands.
So it goes back to you as a content creator. Who do you want to target? You know, like if you want to target companies that, you know, are family and all these things, you know, then you know how to conduct and carry out yourself. You know, if you want to attract companies that are on the other end, you know, young people, fun, maybe not ratchet, but, you know, like extremists, then you just present yourself the same way. So it's you as a creator to decide who and what I represent, and then brands will look for you depending
on
that.
And that is true, because even the ratchetness has a market.
It does.
The guys who are like, this is the audience we want. You know.
So it depends as you as a creator. But at the end of the day, I will say that the platforms that are there for you as a creator are mostly geared towards clean content and all these things. So even what do you want these platforms to push you? You know, so it's at the end of the day, it's for you to decide.
To make that decision. Okay, as we wrap up, what are some of the pointers that you can give creators? You know, like, make sure this is what you're doing. Make sure you're using social media platform for 1, 2, 3. Make
this,
sure you
this
have...
This is how you should behave.
You even have a portfolio that you can send people who want to work with. Because most creators don't have, like, profiles and portfolios.
Because they don't know what to do.
So what are some of the pointers that, you know, you can dish out for free before they can book a consultation session with you?
So I mentioned that I've not worked with a lot of creators, you know. So
but communication is the same.
Yeah,
I feel like if as a creator, if you carry yourself as a business, then your principles and your structures. I mean, a manufacturing company has a factory, right?
Yes.
As a creator, you have your camera and microphone.
Yeah.
So that is you manufacturing
your
content.
Yes.
Yeah. Distribution. When they're working with distributors or FMCG distributors, you're working with digital platform to distribute.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like...
it's almost the same.
It's same structure, different materials.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are some of the, say, 2 or 3 pointers?
Yeah, so I'll just mention what I've mentioned, I think, as we were just discussing. You know, just carry out yourself depending on what brand you want to attract.
One.
You know? And then... I will say, recently, I manage a social media page for one corporate in Kenya.
Yeah.
And I've seen quite a number of people coming to the inbox and saying, yeah, I can help you gain followers. You know, I'm an influencer.
And
you
were talking about that in our last episode. Yes. We were talking about creators who buy views and followers and comments.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's fine to reach out in that way, but personally, I see these creators telling you that they can help you. I will personally appreciate, you know, you mentioned, yes, I'm a creator and, you know, I have a proposal or something, yeah, instead of, you know, bombarding, you know, it's a bit, it doesn't say and a
do,
lot
do,
about.
Do those things work? Because I'm thinking the person, it's like me going to the Kenya Power Twitter account and ranting to this person. This person is not even an employee of Kenya Power.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so this guy does, can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can just point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But very rarely will they do.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to what I was saying. You know, yeah, if you have it presented well in a nice proposal, mm-hmm, even whoever is the, recipient, you know, external agency handling the social media, they're able to, you know, get your file and forward it.
Yeah,
compared to me screenshotting a proposal and sending.
That is if they ever forward the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah,
having it as a presentable piece of a document,
yeah,
then it makes this person even think, okay,
yeah,
let me forward.
Yeah, then share your analytics, mm-hmm, you know, give the details, then come and say, by the way, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
okay, at the end of the day, numbers always speak to people in a different kind of way. If you show me numbers, I'll be like, oh, by the way, this person,
yeah,
you know, makes sense,
mm-hmm,
compared to saying, but by the way, I'm an influencer and I can help you get followers. Maybe
numbers
we don't want to
money.
Get followers.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we don't get followers, you know, mm-hmm, maybe we want to push a specific product,
yeah.
Yeah,
you know, so how do you as a creator align to the company? You know,
goals,
find a specific
yeah
product, then make a whole proposal out
around
of it.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then people will listen to you. So just maybe creators just need to know how to present themselves. Maybe that's why even what you mentioned, Nati, there are specific creators who are making money from brands,
because mm-hmm
they know how to do this.
Yeah,
you know, they
yeah
know how
yeah
to present it and everything. So the smaller creators should maybe be able to also learn a few
yeah
tricks. Maybe you guys can help them and, you know, learn what to
yeah
present.
If you need help, make sure you subscribe to the Kenyan Entrepreneur on YouTube.
You can DM
and
us
also
yeah
create a podcast on
yeah
Instagram, CRHR podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
those
sorry,
I
cut you off.
Third point?
Yeah, third point. The first one is present yourself well.
Mm.
No, she said three. The other one was look at what the company offerings are, choose one product, get a proposal around it.
Yes.
Because
yeah you also can't be a brand ambassador for everything.
No,
for
you,
a company, that's
know
huge. Even
yeah
if you look at the States, a company does not give, okay, rarely does one specific person represent
yeah
the entire company.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard. Even when EABL announces a brand ambassador, you'll hear maybe Jua Kali is the brand ambassador for Pilsner or
yeah
Tasker.
Yeah.
So every company has a number of products.
Mm.
So you just need to look at those products. Which one aligns with what
yeah
I am?
Mm.
If you are under 20 years and you're famous, when you're writing to Coca-Cola, then focus on Fanta Orange.
Yeah,
because
you know, yeah
that is the audience that product
actually
is for.
Right now Coca are working a lot with influencers.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
yeah.
Don't sit. I will say my last point is don't sit and wait for, you know,
for
a brand
to
recognize
to you
and do weird stories and tag a company
hoping
randomly. It's something I've also seen. It's just a random person tagging, you know, the company.
Yeah,
then
hoping that they can get a brand deal.
Yeah, you
yeah
know, make a nice presentation, reach out, you know, as in LinkedIn is here, as in it has made life easier.
Yeah.
You know, you can be able to see who is the marketing manager in wherever.
Yeah, and reach
yeah
out to them.
Maybe
yeah
don't stalk them, but find a way. Of
LinkedIn, I have a very weird relationship with LinkedIn. The way when you're researching who you want to reach out to
yeah
in a specific
yeah
company,
yeah,
you see their profile, you look at it, and then you disappear. And when you come back to your profile, they've looked at yours. So I try to imagine
Juliana
that scenario in real life.
Yeah.
It's
knock,
like
knock
you're peeping. And then when you go back, they also come and peep. And it's just a weird thing. But like you're saying, it's a good platform to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Nat is testing the microphone. She can't seem to hear herself. Can you hear yourself now?
No, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
Yeah. So those are the pointers from Flora Nanjala. Asante sana for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
It was nice having you.
Thank you.
That's a very wrong phrase. However,
what do you mean is a wrong phrase?
It was nice having you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nat is clapping on the table.
Oh, usually describe what's happening.
Yeah, because when people are listening,
guys, if I hear weird this sounds. Particular table, Seb is mentioning.
what is your takeaway from this conversation?
That those gaps, those things that we really don't know about to depth. I'm glad you came and I've aligned a few things. Whoever wants to know more, they can reach out to you. So maybe just give us your social media handles.
Do you want people to reach out to you?
Flora Nanjala, so feel free.
Oh, LinkedIn.
Just say that again. I think someone was playing with the audio.
My LinkedIn is Flora Nanjala, so feel free to reach out.
Okay, she's very professional, guys. Yeah. So
if we're meeting on a friendly basis, then I have other social media handles. But for this, I am representing the
Flora Nanjala
serious side of me, so my LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Amazingness.
What do you have to say about this conversation? This is the second guest we've had, eh?
Yes.
And earlier you were saying how tired you are with this recording things. Do you feel like you're feeding off her energy and now your energy is coming back?
My energy is always there. However, it gets to a point where it reduces a bit. I mean, that's normal.
Sugar levels.
Especially
but
for
it's
those
easier when you have a guest
sugar.
Because now we have an extra source of energy to feed off from.
Are you feeling tired?
Not really. I thought this would be harder than
it has been.
It has been. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's over. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, you guys, you've heard it here first. The only creator platform in Kenya that is giving you valuable information. So make sure to hit the follow button. If you are on podcast platforms. Okay, you are on podcast platform. So make sure to hit that button that says follow so that every time we upload a new episode, you are in the know. We are on SoundCloud.
Yes.
We are on Spotify, Anchor. We are on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So you have zero excuse.
Yeah.
If you are on Instagram, come and follow us. We are at Creator Podcast. Creator Podcast is CRHR Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also check out creator.co.ke if you are a content creator looking for solutions to help you create, monetize, and grow.
Yeah.
From me, follow me on Instagram at the Kenyan Entrepreneur. Nati has a private Instagram account.
I'm still very skeptical when it comes to wanting to make it public.
Make what public?
My Instagram
account. Okay, I thought there's something else.
No, there's nothing else. Guys, don't overthink.
Do not overthink. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was nice having you in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Flora, asante sana for coming through.
Thank you. Asante
sana. Wase wakikuulizia, we'll reach out again and talk to your assistant and your booking manager and have you back. Upunguze bei kidogo like
this. I don't believe what he said.
Anyway, I'll see you guys in the next episode.
All right.
Peace out and bye.
Bye.